Hi, guys. Glad we got your message. You'll be interested to hear it was broadcast live all over Earth, prime time. Got good reviews.
Temna zvezda.
Dark Star.
Approximately 18.
Oddaja o filmu in skrytych stranach filmskiego wesołu.
And you are on the mission of the 21st century planet smashers.
Pozdravljeni v prvi pomladni ediciji oddaje Temna zvezda, v kateri se bomo posvetili Jamesu Baldwinu, njegovemu eseju The Devil Finds Work ter aktualnemu dokumentarnemu filmu Nisem tvoj zamorec oziroma I am not your negro Raula Peka, ki v svojstven omaž Baldwinovi politični misli upelje tudi omenjen esej.
James Baldwin se je rodil leta 1924 v New Yorku, natančneje v Harlemu. Poznamo ga predvsem kot pisca, izdavja okoli 20 samostojnih del, mednje pa uvrščamo romane, denimo klasiko, Pojdi in povej na gori, zbirke esejev, med katerimi sta najbolj znani zagotovo Notes of a Native Son in The Fire Next Time, pisal pa je tudi dramske igre in pesmi. Vse življenje je deloval kot politični aktivist, ki je v javnosti glasno, iskreno in pronicljivo govoril o rasnih odnosih v Združenih državah Amerike. To vrstno delovanje je v času gibanja za državljanske pravice le še okrepil.
Njegov esej The Devil Finds Work iz leta 1976 je njegovo manj znano delo, ki se rasnih odnosov v ZDA loteva prek analize lastnega gledanja hollywoodskih filmov od svojega otroštva pa vse do 70-ih let 20. stoletja. Esej je prodoren premislek o položaju filma znotraj ameriške realnosti, obenem pa je izjemno oseben zapis o lastnem odraščanju ter spoznavanju v prvi vrsti filmske, pa tudi literarne in gledališke umetnosti, ki so na tak ali drugačen način oblikovale njegov kulturno-političen referenčni okvir. V eseju sicer skoraj toliko prostora kot filmu nameni literaturi, a zdi se, da zato, ker so ga ameriški filmi pogosto razočarali, saj se niso ujemali z njegovo realnostjo. In čeprav ga je kot mladega človeka najbolj zaznamoval Orson Welles, se je to zgodilo ob ogledu njegove gledališke igre Macbeth, ki jo je Welles zastavil izključno s črnimi igralci.
Prvo poglavje eseja Baldwin zastavi kot avtobiografsko spominjanje deškega odkrivanja filmov, pomenov, ki jih je od njih odnesel, ter zbeganosti o premišljevanju, kako leti, če sploh, ustrezajo njegovemu življenju. Najprej spregovori o svojih prvih filmskih spominih, med katerimi posebno pozornost nameni zadnjemu Mohikancu iz leta 1936, v katerem bela ženska skoči v prepad, da jo indijanec ne bi onečastil. Ob zgodnih filmih, kot je ta piše, je kmalo spoznal, da se beli ljudje ne vedejo tako kot se, ker so beli, temveč, da v njihovem odnosu, ki ga je že v otroštvu občutil tudi sam, tiči nekaj drugega.
Baldwinove prve kinematografske izkušnje je sicer najbolj zaznamovala njegova učiteljica Bill Miller, ki ga je pogosto peljala v kino ter se z njim pogovarjala o videnem, obenem pa, pravi, prav zaradi nje ni nikoli v življenju uspel zares zasovražiti belih ljudi, čeprav, kot piše, je večkrat želel umoriti kakšnega od njih.
Baldwin piše, da mu je bila v zgodnih letih najbolj blizu Fordova filmska adaptacija Steinbeckovega romana Grozdi jeze, se mu je prikaz revščine med veliko gospodarsko krizo dal občutek, da je tudi dobršen del bele populacije pravzaprav črn. Podobno identifikacijo kot z obobožano družino Midwest je začutil tudi ob prebiranju Zločina in kazni Dostojevskega ter Dickinsonove Povesti o dveh mestih. S prvim zaradi Raskolnikovega maščevanja, z drugim pa zaradi opisanih obobožanih, ki kot edino sredstvo upora vidijo nadaljevanje lastnega rodu.
Koča strica Toma pa ga je, čeprav naj bi bil s knjigo Baldwin nekaj časa obseden do točke, ko mu jo je mama morala skriti, že kot majhnega razočarala, saj zanj stric Tom, ker se ni odločil za maščevanje, ni bil junak. Junaki so bili zanj predvsem beli ljudje, ne le zaradi filmov, temveč zaradi zavedanja sveta, ki so ga odsevali. Zapiše. Preziral in bal sem se teh junakov, saj so maščevanje vzeli v svoje roke. Tem ljudem se zdi, da jim maščevanje pripada.
Črni igralci Baldwina običajno niso navduševali, saj se je, kot piše, že kot otrok zavedal, da Stepin Fetchit, Willie Best in Manton Moreland, najbolj znani črni komedijanti iz obdobja 30. in 40. let, lažejo o njegovem svetu. Že zgodaj je zasovražil stereotipe, ki so jih svojimi filmskimi vlogami ponotranili ter krepili. Obenem kot edino belo žensko igralko, s katero se je lahko identificiral, Baldwin izpostavi Silvio Sidney, saj je njeno izkušnjo, v zgodnih filmih je nemalokrat igrala takšno ali drugačno žrtev, lahko pogosto povezal z lastno.
Baldwinu se je iz otroštva v spomin vtisnil tudi film They Won't Forget iz leta 1937, v katerem že samo dejstvo, da je bilo v mestu umorjeno in posiljeno belo dekle, na obrazu črnega hišnika, kljub njegovi nedolžnosti, izriše takšno grozo pred obtožbo, kot je še ni videl. Prav stereotip črnega posiljevalca oziroma nasilneža je bil tudi tisti, ki ga je od hollywoodskega filma najbolj odvračal v kasnejših letih, ko se je leta 1957 zaradi želje po udejstvovanju v gibanju za državljanske pravice iz Pariza vrnil v ZDA. A stereotip je, še preden se je vrnil, prvič ponovno srečal v knjigi I Shall Spit on Your Grave Borisa Viana, francoskega pisatelja, ki naj bi z omenjenim delom zastavil prevod ameriške izkušnje. V romanu Črn moški umaščevanje za ubitega brata posiljuje bela dekleta. Njegov lik pa Baldwin v eseju primerja s Tarzanom. Gre za moškega, ki je sicer videti bel, a se, po parametrih bele domišljije, vede kot črn moški.
Baldwin se na to posveti filmom, za katere pravi, da obstajajo zgolj zato, da bi ohranjali legendo o črnih ljudeh, obenem pa za tovrstne filme poda metaforo črnske pesmi, katere besedilo pravi I can't believe what you say because I see what you do. Najprej izpostavi Griffithov The Birth of a Nation iz leta 1915, v katerem moški mešane rase postane član ameriškega kongresa, a je vse, kar poleg prostaškosti in polživalskega vedenja v filmu izraža, zavist napram belim moškim ter poželenje po belih ženskah. V filmu je prikazan kot nekakšna pošast v raju. Poželenje takšnih črnih pošasti pa, pravi Baldwin, se lahko kaznuje s kastracijo in obešanjem. Omeniti je treba, da je prav ta film s tematiko ter ikonografijo klanskih mož spodbudil ponovno oživitev Ku Klux Klana, zaradi česar Baldwin film označi za dovršeno opravičilo za pobijanje.
Čeprav se, kot opaža Baldwin, nekje v sredini prejšnjega stoletja črnih moških ne predstavlja več kot nasilne posiljevalce, ti v večini primerov služijo prikazu pokornih črnih moških, ki morajo ves čas dokazovati, da ne predstavljajo grožnje belim ljudem, predvsem pa ženskam. Kot takšnega omenja In the Heat of the Night Normana Jewisona iz leta 1967, v katerem kot izjemno nenaravnega izpostavlja odnos med črnim detektivom in belim šerifom, za katerega meni, da predstavlja nekakšno prisiljeno spravo in ravno obdobje, v katerem je bil film posnet, dokazuje, da prisotnost črnih ljudi v policiji, pravosodnem sistemu in tako dalje še ne pomeni kakršnekoli spremembe.
Kot filme, v katerih črn moški ves čas dokazuje svojo nedolžnost, Baldwin kasneje analizira dva filma Stanleya Kramerja, The Fine Ones iz leta 1958 ter Guess Who's Coming to Dinner iz leta 1967. Na primeru prvega Baldwin oriše naravo sovraštva med črnim in belim prebivalstvom, za katerega trdi, da nima istih korenin. Pri belem sovraštvu, pravi, gre za grozo pred umišljeno figuro nasilnega črnega človeka, medtem ko gre pri črnem sovraštvu predvsem za zgodovinsko pogojen bes.
V filmu Defiant Ones bel in črn pobegli zapornik, ki jo igrata Tony Curtis ter Sidney Poitier, dobršen del filma preživita priklenjena eden na drugega. Nekje na polovici pa verigo, ki ju veže, uspeta prežagati. Čeprav se do te točke v filmu med njima že razvije določena kolegialnost, se belec odloči, da bo pot nadaljeval z belo žensko, ki jo je ravno kar spoznal. Ker kmalo ugotovi, da ga je ženska prelisičila, se črnemu ubežniku zopet pridruži, a mu v ključnem trenutku, ko bi morala skočiti na mimo vozeči se vlak, to ne uspe. V tem trenutku črn ubežnik, ki mu je vzpon na vlak uspel, skoči iz njega in se tako za voljo kolega odpove možnosti pobega. Baldwin zapiše. Iz vlaka skoči, da bi pomiril bele ljudi, da bi jim dal vedeti, da niso osovraženi. Da niso, čeprav so storili človeške napake, naredili ničesar, za kar bi jih bilo potrebno sovražiti. Če je belo liberalno občinstvo v kinu ob dotičnem končnem prizoru ploskalo, je harlemsko občinstvo bojda ogorčeno kričalo: "Get back on the train, you fool!"
Podobno premiso zastavi Guess Who's Coming to Dinner, film, ki spremlja uspešnega črnega zdravnika, ki prvič pride na obisk k staršem svojega belega dekleta in ga tudi tokrat igra Sidney Poitier. Film je Baldwin gledal na isti dan kot The Birth of a Nation. Vse, kar je v njem videl, pa je, da črn uspešen moški belim staršem ves čas zagotavlja, da se brez njihovega dovoljenja nima namena poročiti. Proti poroki se navkljub sinovi uspešnosti izreče celo njegov oče, pa tudi lik zveste črne služkinje bele družine, ki ga Baldwin v zgodovini hollywoodskega filma izpostavi kot posebej problematičnega.
V tretjem poglavju eseja Baldwin opiše lastno izkušnjo s filmskim svetom. Leta 1968 so ga namreč povabili v Hollywood, da bi napisal scenarij za avtobiografski film o Malcolmu X-u, a so ga kaj kmalu doleteli na potki oziroma nekakšen liberalen kalup, v katerega naj bi scenarij umestil. Med drugim naj bi se Malcolmovo življenje zastavilo kot pripoved, v kateri je bil Malcolm X sicer zgodaj v življenju resda razočaran strani nekaj belcev, a čigar tragika leži prav v kasnejši izdaji strani velikega števila črnih ljudi. Iz Baldwinovih delov scenarija so sproti odstranjevali različne politične poudarke, med drugim tudi političen pomen njegovega potovanja v Meko, zato je kmalo vzel svoj izviren scenarij in delo opustil. Kot primer podobno ukalupljene avtobiografije, Baldwin omeni film Lady Sings the Blues iz leta 1972, ki slika življenje Billie Holiday, iz katerega so odstranili vsakršne indikacije trpljenja, revščine, odvisnosti in zlorab, ki jih je Holiday živela.
Baldwin esej zaključi s krajšo analizo Friedkinovega Exorcista, za katerega zapiše. Nespametna in histerična banalnost zla, prikazanega v Exorcistu, je najbolj srhljiva osebnost tega filma. Američani bi morali o zlu zagotovo vedeti več kot to. Če se pretvarjajo, drugače lažejo. In vsak črn človek, in ne le črn, veliko, veliko drugih, tudi beli otroci, lahko to laž razkrinkajo. Tisti, ki je bil obravnavan kot hudič, prepozna hudiča, ko ga sreča. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on a rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still lights of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Green Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry R. Woman Liberationist and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Keyes, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones,
Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or the Rare Earth, the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with Coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.
Pozdravljeni nazaj v oddaji Temna zvezda. V prvem delu oddaje smo se posvetili Baldwinovemu eseju The Devil Finds Work, ki v hollywoodski filmski produkciji odkriva konstrukcije rasnih odnosov v ZDA. In če že govorimo o Baldwinu in filmu, velja omeniti tudi dokumentarni film Nisem tvoj zamorec, ki ga je skoraj 10 let snoval haitski režiser Raoul Peck. Film prek zgodbe o 3 Baldwinovih ubitih prijateljih, Malcolmu X-u, Martinu Luthru Kingu ter Medgarju Evansu, zastavi nekakšen pregled Baldwinovih misli o rasni problematiki ZDA. Peck spaja izseke iz različnih Baldwinovih esejev s posnetki njegovih govorov, intervjujev, pa tudi s kratkimi scenami iz filmov, ki jih Baldwin omenja v eseju, kateremu smo se posvetili danes. Tako Baldwinove misli ves čas vizualno ilustrira ali pa vzpostavlja kontrast med povedanim in prikazanim, kar ustreza odnosu fiktivno-realno v že omenjeni konstrukciji rasnih razmerij.
Raoula Pecka smo uspeli ujeti na berlinskem filmskem festivalu. Najprej prisluhnimo, kaj Pecku pomeni Baldwin in zakaj se je odločil, da posname omenjeni film.
Well, I was fortunate to discover Baldwin very early on in my life. I was probably around 17, 18 and I read one of the first book I read was The Fire Next Time. And it was an incredible explosion. Because suddenly all the feelings I had, all the sort of doubt I had about what I was seeing, what I was reading, what I was experiencing, suddenly had a structure, had a name, had an analysis. And I started to put, you know, the world in around me in a sort of a very deconstructive structure that enabled me to go through it up to today. It's, you know, I've read, of course, Baldwin again and again, and it's not, you know, Baldwin is not somebody you just read, he's really somebody you can study. Every sentence in that film is an incredible, wealth of philosophy, of political sharpness and historical analysis. And you could watch the film 3-4 times and find something else each time. So my confrontation with the rest of whatever existed came through the eyes of Baldwin, basically.
Peck nam je obrazložil, kako je dobil dostop do celotnega arhiva Baldwinovih del, posnetkov in podobno.
Well, that's one thing I always understood as a documentary filmmaker. With narrative film, I do both, but with documentary filmmaking, you need to be very sincere in what you do. Otherwise, there is no way you can go all the way with your subject or your project. And I also learned about being patient. It happened many times that for one reason, one particular person that you need in your film say no to you. And of course you can't have that. So you go a first time, a second time, and you come back 3 months later, you come back 2 years later, whatever it takes. If that person is really important to your film, it's important to stick to that and go again and again, because what actually that person is telling you is that I still don't trust you to tell you my story. It's never that I don't want to tell my story, even when I find in particular people who have been traumatized or people who have felt they went through something major in their life. Of course they don't want to give it to the, you know, the journalist that's just passed by and will probably don't know what to do with it. So the person needs to feel who you are, you know, what is your foundation, what do you have in your belly? And sometimes it takes a long time, you know. That's why, you know, I remember as a young filmmaker, you know, it was a crime to go somewhere else with a camera and start filming. You were supposed to learn the people and, by the way, present yourself and be humbled. You don't come as a conqueror. You come as somebody who first tried to understand, to watch, to listen. And now with the evolution of technology, we see more and more that, you know, people go in certain countries and just shoot and go. You know, that's almost the normal format now that journalists, by the way, are using a lot. And I was fortunate to start cinema on another time where there were certain rules, certain human rules that you had to respect. To come back to Baldwin, I wrote a letter and I was very sincere in saying, you know, I don't know what this film is going to be. I just know that Baldwin is important to me, that he needs to come back. His words and work is being to be forgotten. And I want to have access to, you know, I don't know if it's going to be a narrative or a documentary or a mixed film. But I just want to have an option on his work. And, you know, I met Gloria Carifa-Smart, who is James Baldwin's younger sister. And she said yes to everything. She gave me access to everything. But it's important to know, she already knew my work. You know, I was surprised that I got everything like this, but she has seen Lumumba in particular, and a lot of my other films, and somehow the amount of time you take to have the trust of somebody, she already had it by the film I had made. And it's this saying also something to the choices you make in your life for each and every film you make. You pay a price for every film. There is not just the same as I'm going to make this small film so that I can make the bigger one later. Each thing that you produce or you make is part of you, you know. People are going to look at them to know who you are. So there is nothing as, you know, as an innocent film or as a small film, as a, you know, I'm doing this for money and later I will really do what I want to do.
Prisluhnimo tudi, zakaj Peck meni, da je Baldwin aktualen tudi ali pa še posebej danes.
I thought, you know, it's about time to bring him back and eventually help this current generation to get the necessary tools to make their own analysis. So when those images of those black men, girls and boys being killed, It was just a further justification for the film, but it was not the starting point. It was just seeing how accurate Baldwin analysis was. You know, everything which is in the film are words and sentences he wrote 40, 50 years ago. We feel that he sat down the very morning and wrote them down. And that's what makes the film totally somehow incredible, because it's like, you know, it's about today, and it is about today. Otherwise, I would not have made it. I don't make film for the past. I make film for the future and for now.
Lord have mercy.
Peka smo vprašali, ali je imel oziroma ima namen posneti tudi biografski film o Baldwinu ali pa adaptacijo kakšnega izmed njegovih proznih del.
At the beginning, the idea was to how do I bring the full Baldwin and in particular his words. So if I had done a biography, I would have done it in order to bring those words to the forefront. So, and I didn't know, I find, but once this film exists now, when I see how impactful it is, for me, it's more important than anything else. I'm not so much interested in knowing, you know, where he lived, with whom he slept around, and his sexuality. All this is already also more or less in the film. What is more important is his words, and because those words can change your life. So that was the impact. So now you ask me if will I do one of his novels? I don't know, but right now I feel that I did what I wanted to do and it's working and the impact is great and then that's all I want.
Za konec prisluhnimo še izseku intervjuja, v katerem se leta 1963 s Jamesom Baldwinom pogovarja Kenneth Clark. Prav ta izsek zaključi Pekov film Nisem tvoj zamorec, v njem pa Baldwin spregovori o konstrukciji tako imenovanega ameriškega zamorca, kateri je nedvomno pripomogla tudi hollywoodska industrija s filmskimi prikazi rasnih odnosov, o katerih smo skozi Baldwinove oči spregovorili v začetku oddaje.
I can't be a pessimist. Because I'm alive. To be a pessimist means that you have agreed that human life is an academic matter. So I'm forced to be an optimist. I'm forced to believe that we can survive whatever we must survive. But the Negro in this country, the future of the Negro in this country is precisely as bright or as dark as the future of the country. It is entirely up to the American people and our representatives. It is entirely up to the American people whether or not they're going to face and deal with and embrace this stranger whom they maligned so long. What white people have to do is try to find out in their own hearts why it was necessary to have a nigger in the first place. Because I'm not a nigger. I'm a man. But if you think I'm a nigger, it means you need it. And the question you got to ask yourself, the white population of this country has got to ask itself, north and south, because it's one country, and for a Negro, there is no difference in the north and the south. There's just a difference in the way they castrate you. But the fact of the castration is the American fact. If I'm not the nigger here, and you invented him, you, the white people, invented him, and you got to find out why.
Well,
and the future of the country depends on that, whether or not it's able to ask that question.
Hey, yeah, we're the same brothers from a long time ago. We was talking about.
Oddajo Temna zvezda je pripravila Petra Meterc, brala sva Cvetko in Pija, tehniciral je Blaž.
Hi guys. Glad we got your message. You'll be interested to hear it was broadcast live all over Earth, prime time. Got good reviews.
Temna zvezda.
Dark Star.
Oddaja o filmu in skritih stranih filmskega vesolja.
And you are on the mission of the 21st century planet smashers.